We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on AM 580, 90.9 FM HD3, and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning, I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Jason Croft. First Friday of the month of March, and we talk about dogs in this portion of the program. Dog trainer Jim Keel is here with me in the studio. We're expecting Carol Lindholm. She's not yet arrived. But anyway, we are here to take your telephone calls about dogs, dog behavior, dog care, dog training. Give us a call. Join us. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, and the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Jim, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, it's good to be seen. I'm fine. It seems to be a nice late winter day today, early spring.
Yeah, 59 degrees. Not bad.
I forgot to bring my raincoat, though.
Yeah.
And it always rains on the unloved, and so I'm kind of concerned.
That's all of us, isn't it?
In one time or another, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you have new glasses?
No, these are the same old glasses.
They are?
We left the door open.
Carol's here. Good to see you. Come
good
on
to
in.
See you. A little bit of a hindrance today.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. It's beautiful out. It's a beautiful day.
We're headed in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I hooked up the dogs over the weekend, but they couldn't pull on the
mud
concrete. So I had to give it up.
The dogs are happy. It's just they don't like snow either after a point. They're just sick of it. So, yep, things are good.
Good. And what's up with the dog training club?
Well, we're going to our last week of classes next week. And, that's the nice thing about winter session. You start, it's dark and gray and black, and when we're finished, it's spring and it's light and it's pleasant. It makes the winter go faster. Training your dog in the winter is a good thing.
Yeah.
So we have last classes next week, and then the CGC, Canine Good Citizenship Test, is on the 17th of March. Is that St. Patrick's Day?
It is. It's my brother's birthday, too.
Yeah. Day after my sister's birthday. But anyway, so that's that. And then we start again on March 31st, I believe. Yes.
When do we have the health day?
The health day? Why are you asking me? Pull out your PDA.
Well, I don't think I wrote it down. But I will. I already had my PDA because I was calling you to see why you were late.
And I have my phone turned off, so I couldn't have answered. I think it's April 2nd.
Is it on the dog training club page?
It should be.
If April 2nd is a Saturday, I think that's the date.
Okay, well, look that up.
That is a fabulous event.
So, in the meantime, I want to tell our listeners that Carol has a Golden and a Doodle, and Jim and his wife, Robin, they raise wonderful, beautiful Malamutes. So how are all the crew? How are all the dogs?
Oh, they're fine. The other night, it was Monday night. I let them out when I got home, and I was racing around because I have class on, I teach on Monday night. And they were out, and they were just ripping around the yard, having a great time, And I have a pond, which is my nemesis. I want to drain it because I'm sick of it. But it's fenced off a little bit to keep the bunnies and things out. And Andy, apparently, from what I surmised happened, she sailed over with ease, went into the pond, and Robbie followed her. And Robbie outweighs her by about 20 pounds, and he's got big, heavy bones, and he didn't make it. So I didn't know. I went to call them in to feed them, and Robbie is shaking off his coat. And I thought, oh, no, he fell into the pond. Well, he got out, obviously. But when he fell in, I'm also guessing that he just dropped like a stone. My pond is deep, and he swallowed a lot of that icky pond water. So we had sick puppy syndrome Monday night, Tuesday.
Oh.
But I wanted all that to get through him, so I didn't give him anything to stop it. I was just grateful that he survived. Perils of ponds, by the way.
Yeah. Can you drain a pond like that? How big is it?
I hate it. I loved it when I put it in. It was beautiful. And now I don't like it anymore. Yes, you can drain it. I think you put a sump pump in there. And the problem is, where does the water go?
Right.
But I'm not giving my secret away. I can't do that on the air.
Put it in your neighbor's yard.
Oh, really? No, I hadn't thought about that.
That wouldn't, do it at night.
That wouldn't be very neighborly. Okay, well, Health Day is on April 2nd. So what's going to happen on April 2nd on Health Day?
Well, this is the second year we've done this, and last year was extraordinarily successful. Anybody that goes to dog shows, they usually have a surf clinic, which is just checking of the eyes. They offer these screenings at a reduced price. We bring in veterinarians to do it, and we're not doing it in conjunction with the show. It's just a standalone event. And we'll have a U of I ophthalmologist there to check eyes. And it's not looking to, it's not like us when we get our eyes checked. They're looking for disease, cataracts. What else do they look for, Jim? There's other eye abnormalities that you can find in dogs that they tend,
ocular stuff.
Yeah, they tend to screen it out. And that's being offered. We're doing hearts, which is really great. We did that last year. Cardiologist comes.
There's no cardiologist at the U of I Vet Med School, so.
Yeah, he's coming in from Purdue. And they check for heart murmurs and other abnormalities within the heart so that they can hear. Do they do Doppler? I don't know.
I don't think that equipment is kind of hard to lug around.
Yeah, but they'll do a heart check, which is important. We're having an acupuncture chiropractic veterinarian coming in. We've got a vaccination.
That's a maybe, but I think it's pretty sure.
I think it's pretty sure.
Don't want to commit to that yet.
And we have a vet coming in that's going to do vaccinations of your dog, DHLPP, and she does rabies or no?
Robin at the meeting said rabies, but I'd...
She's
licensed to do rabies.
Yeah,
I just don't know if...
You can get your dog vaccinated, and I think...
We're doing microchipping.
And we're welcoming anybody. I had an inquiry. We had a photographer there last year that's proved to be popular, and we had an inquiry this last week if we're going to have a photographer there. So it's a day for the dogs, and we're trying to put together another
Together kind of an informal obedience.
Fun match. To go on at the same time.
Mm. What are the hours, and do you have to register ahead of time?
Good point.
You have to register ahead of time.
For eyes and for...
Hearts.
You have to register ahead of time.
But not through the dog training club, through another individual. And that information should be on our website now, who to contact to register for an appointment, the others. And it's just kind of a nice, you know, last year we had a booth there. I was there for quite a bit last year. We had a good attendance, so this year should be better.
Okay.
They're advertising all the dog shows in the area and all the clubs in the area. So
very good.
And the biggest draw is it's substantially less money than it would be to go to U of I or a veterinary clinic and have this done. They just do it all in one place.
Is there one flat fee or
no? It's per test.
Per service. Okay. This is Focus, and we're talking this morning about dogs with trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month. Jim raises Malamutes. Carol has a Golden and a Doodle. And listeners, you can join us this morning with a phone call or by email. If you've got a question or a comment, a story to share about dogs, join us. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. I also see you've got a tracking test coming up.
Oh, this weekend. Well, I think this weekend is closed. We have a tracking seminar held at one of our members who happens to be a tracking judge. She's introducing interested people to the art of tracking, and that is both Saturday and Sunday, I believe. And then we have
test is coming up later in the month.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a variable surface tracking test, VST, at Parkland in April. That's an AKC-recognized event. And variable surface means you'll be in grass, you'll be on pavement, you would be maybe walking on wood chips, different level surfaces than mm-hmm. out in the field somewhere. That's a nice test. That one I would probably like more yeah. than tromping around in weeds.
How do people become instructors or teachers at the dog training club?
Well, we don't have a formal. I remember I was assisting Jim years ago. We try to pair people that are interested with instructors that are experienced. I don't want to call it an apprentice program, but I guess that would fall under that terminology. Most of the people that are in our club, the members, they all like to teach. They all like to share what they've learned. And interestingly enough, we all kind of teach in the same way with a few variations. Some do things a little bit differently. But I know when I started, when I joined the club and I trained there, I really didn't have any aspirations to teach because, incredibly, I was kind of shy and it wasn't my thing to do, but others saw potential, and I've been doing it ever since. But
we try to get people that have experienced training dogs to a certain level,
mm-hmm.
plus that they've gone to a training seminar or two, and we offer similar seminars all throughout the year
mm-hmm.
for various things. Then we have a director of training who then informally interviews people and gets an idea of their interest in teaching. Teaching dog training, actually, it's fairly easy to teach the dogs. It's fairly hard to teach the people.
Yeah.
That
is. You have to have, and I know maybe I overemphasize that, but you really have to have good people skills.
Yeah, you can't stand there and go, oh, that was awful.
You can't. Yeah, you
You're
can't.
You're the worst
you
trainer
have to
I've ever seen.
Help them succeed. So, you know, that requires a little bit more effort than I think, as Jim said, teaching the dog itself is helping them learn how to do it. And I don't know, it's 90% of it.
Yeah.
It's helping the people understand. And then, you know, as an instructor, you'll get very experienced people in your class, and then your challenge is to keep them active and involved, even though they've done this 9 million times, so... But I just enjoy it.
Yeah. What are the things that we do most commonly that you have to train us out of, if you know what I'm saying?
People don't even know how to hold the leash correctly is mm. one thing. Giving the dog all 6 feet it defeats the effort you're trying to achieve by having them near you.
6 feet on the leash.
Leash.
Yeah.
Is that what I was saying? My 2 feet and their 4 feet.
I'm sorry.
Ants have 4 or 6 feet.
I'm sorry.
Spiders have 8 feet.
Not knowing when to reward a dog for what it's doing, doing it at inappropriate times. You know, they'll reward a dog for when they like on a sit stay. They'll reward a dog when they go back and the dog's standing up, and so, you know. So you just break it down to the most simple component. Well, what are you rewarding your dog for? You're rewarding your dog for standing up. Not for remaining seated. And then once they can kind of make that connection. But what are some of the others? You see everything.
You think about that and let's take a call.
Oh, sure.
This is a listener waiting for us in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just caught a glimpse of something you were talking about. I currently don't have a dog, but if I ever get a dog again, and I probably will, I'd like to do tracking. So mm-hmm. I'm interested in finding out more about it. And you mentioned a seminar or something this weekend.
Well, this weekend is filled. There was a limited number of spots available. And it's a working seminar. I think the first day is an introduction, and then the second day or later that day, the first day you work with your dog. But tracking, you can go to the AKC website and learn quite a bit about tracking with your dog. It's a fun thing to do.
Take a look at our webpage, and it's dtccu.net.
.net, yeah.
Just put Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana in your...
Google that and it'll come up. And we have an events calendar and find out when the tracking test is.
Mm-hmm.
You can ignore the Saturday part because they're laying tracks then. There's actually no dogs there.
Yeah.
But Sunday, starting very early, maybe at 8 o'clock, and going until all the dogs are finished, it's not a timed event. That would be the time to go out
and watch.
How do you follow the dogs? Are you,
well, the handler has maybe a 20-foot line.
Oh.
And the people that are just watching, they stay away from it. You kind of watch them across the field.
Okay.
It's at Kennecuck.
Mm-hmm. Kennecuck Cove.
Yeah, and they've got huge, you know, 50-acre fields there.
Sure.
And,
sure, I've seen that. I've been there.
Yeah, and so people are walking, and the spectators stay away, stay kind of off to the side, but you can watch the dog, except we had one guy take a chihuahua tracking, and by golly, the dog got its title. But you couldn't see the dog in the grass, so there was this line going to the ground. But normally you can see the dog working, and people kind of hang around in groups. Plus, they have a great lunch.
Oh, we do, don't we?
I go to that just for the lunch. It's just great. But that would be the day you'd want to go out and find it. There are several good tracking books out.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, and...
You can go to Amazon.com and search on dog tracking. The one thing in tracking that's different than the others is you have to learn to trust your dog. You can't tell him what he's doing. He's the one that knows, or she's the one that knows what she's doing out there, so you're just a follower. So,
I kind of trained a dog once. He never got a title, but whenever I laid a track, he would be 10 feet downwind from the track.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd run 10 feet. When he'd hit the food drop, he'd run over to the food drop, eat the food, run back out, and go. And by golly, I got him up to a couple hundred yard track.
Yeah.
But that's how he did it. It was the wrong way, but I couldn't tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was getting his
He says,
wanted.
I'll go this way. You can go your own way.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call this morning. Other calls are invited. Also, email messages are invited as well. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So back to some of the things that we need
that people do wrong. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is we've all done it wrong.
Sure.
Even those of us that know better. And I
there are two things I think people train their dogs to do. One, I believe people train their dogs to jump up on them. And I also believe that people train their dogs to pull them on the lead. You train your dog to jump up because you're ignoring the dog until it jumps up on you. And then you start going, which to a dog is...
attention.
It's attention. They don't particularly know what you're saying. And usually when you're yelling at the dog, your voice, your pitch goes way up, and they find that delightful. So you're actually rewarding the dog for jumping up. And the most common question is, how do I train my dog not to jump up? And I always say, it's hard to train a dog not to do something because they're always not doing something. You don't train them not to jump up. You train them to sit. And so when the dog looks like he's going to jump, you tell him to sit.
I like to invite them for a hug or a dance, and, you know, so mm-hmm. they get that desire to be near you fulfilled, but it's at your discretion.
And usually it's a greeting.
Yeah.
So you know, the other thing is people will put a dog on a lead and the dog starts to pull. You know, you're just standing there. The dog starts to pull and the handler starts walking. So the dog says, well, if I want to get this guy moving, I have to pull against the lead.
I have to drag him with me.
And people are afraid the dog's going to choke himself to death. So they run or walk fast behind the dog. If they just stood there, the dog would pull just as hard, but it wouldn't get anywhere. So you can never get any slack by this method because the dog keeps pulling. And by the time they get to us, the dog's already trained to pull when they walk. And we've got to untrain that.
Let's take another call. We're going to go now to, I think, is it line one? Yes, line one. And that is a listener in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I have a 12 or 13-year-old border collie, and he's starting to pee all over the house, or, well, not all over, just in our dining room. And I was wondering if should he be tested for diabetes or...
UTI. Upper urinary tract infection.
Okay.
That's the most likely. You can do diabetes, too. We've got a dog at home right now that has Cushing's, I think. And she drinks a lot of water and pees a lot. So, I mean, there's several exotic things that cause that. I don't think it's related to his age, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
But a UTI is the most common thing, and it's the easiest to treat. But, yeah. It's not related that, well, he's an old dog, because a lot of dogs get old and they don't pee. So it's something else going on.
Okay. Would I have to bring in a urine sample then, like the first thing in the morning? Or?
Yeah. Get him the first thing in the morning, usually I take a plastic cup and put it on the end of a broomstick or something like that.
Well, make an appointment with your vet first so you don't drive around with urine in your car all day.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. I was going
to try. Oh, yeah, you should probably.
Either hit or miss.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to get a urine sample if you're patient.
Okay.
No, it's not. And, you know,
I use a pie pan.
There are several unglamorous things about owning dogs, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I'm finding that out. Okay. Oh, well, that's great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign. Line 2, hi.
Hi. My name is Catherine Shank, and I learned to be a dog trainer by Jim and Carol.
Oh.
They trained me to be a trainer just by being a member of the club, and then they suck you in and convince you that you want to train people.
And so then you come up with these newfangled ideas like rally.
Like rally, right. And Jim tries to convince you that you can't train beagles, but...
Oh, you can't train a beagle.
When you're talking about things not to train your dogs, I think one of the biggest problems people have when they have puppies is don't let your dog do anything now that's not going to be cute when they get big.
True.
Because, you know, the barking and all kinds of other things, licking, all that, people let their dogs do it, and they think it's so cute when the little Labrador is 18 pounds, but when he's 94, suddenly it's not nearly as cute.
Yeah, sitting watching TV with an 80-pound dog in your lap is not easy.
Exactly.
That's okay.
Well, I have 5 20-pound dogs in my lap, but
it's the same thing.
But, and the other thing is people with little dogs that just don't train them at all because they think, well, it's a little dog, so I can make them stop doing anything I want. But that's how they become those obnoxious little creatures that some people really just don't like little dogs because they think of those dogs all the time. So
little dogs are dogs just the same.
That's right, like corgis.
Oh, they're never obnoxious.
That's right. Well, anyway, those are my comments, and... Nice
it's
to
good
hear
to hear from you. Stop by. We
you
miss you.
Care.
Okay.
Thanks for the call this morning. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. The email address will-talk@illinois.edu. It's the people that we hear from, in addition to the two of you, your chemistry, that makes this show go, I think.
Jim and I have chemistry?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I took chemistry in college, and I didn't do very well at it. I thought my career has to go a different direction because I'm just not getting this stuff.
Let's take another call. This is a listener on a cell phone, line 1. Hi.
Good morning. I have a new golden retriever puppy, a female, and she's 8 weeks old, and she weighed around 7.5 when she was born, and we were told to give her a half a cup of dog food 3 times a day. And it seemed like in the first week she was just like she was starving. So my husband increased it to 2/3 cup. And we're using an actual measuring cup on this 3 times a day. Is that too much?
How old is she now?
She's 8 weeks.
8 weeks old today.
Oh, no. A third of a cup is too little.
3 times a day.
Oh, 3 times. 2/3?
Yes.
Well, it depends a lot on the puppy. What kind of food are you feeding her? Is it something really good?
Purina, healthy bites.
Yeah, okay.
puppy food?
It's hard to tell. What do you feed your pups when they go on kibble?
Well, our puppies, when they're we just hand litter, and when they're that age, I think they were eating just short of a cup a day. But there were six puppies, so, you know, I know what I poured out. I don't know how much each guy ate. But, yeah, you're in the ballpark there. Probably a third of a cup is not quite enough.
I'd say half a cup.
And two-thirds is probably too much, but, you know, it's just somewhere in there. It's not two-thirds is not overly too much.
Okay. Because after she eats, she seems like, and she eats very slowly. She's not a mm-hmm. fast eater, mm-hmm. but she looks around for more. You know, she kind of hesitates at her bowl and says, I want more, you know, or she seems to.
Yeah,
so,
well, at that, you know, she's going to double her size in the next month.
Right.
They just grow like crazy.
That's when they need more food.
And they need nutrition for that. And it's our puppies at a certain point are eating more per day than our 100-pound males, adults, because the male adults aren't growing anymore, and the puppies are just, you know, those cells are just dividing away. One thing you could test, it's hard to tell with puppies because puppies seem to get fat. And then they go through a growth spurt, and then they're skinny.
Right.
And then they eat
not
some more.
Fat. I mean, you could. She's yeah. Getting long, but she's not getting fat.
Mm-hmm. And breeders, I'm glad that the breeder is fairly conservative in the amount of food to feed, because a lot of people just overfeed their dogs. But keep an eye on her. Two thirds, see how she does. But as I said, it's somewhere between a third and two-thirds cup a day. I'm sorry, three times a day. And just keep an eye on her and see if she's getting pudgy. And
a third's too little, I think.
A third is too little and two-thirds is too much, I think.
So a half.
Yeah, maybe a little more than a half. It's,
yeah, we
it's
were
hard
doing
to
half
say.
And then she just it just didn't
still seemed like hungry.
She
yeah,
she
okay.
Just rushed to the bowl.
Well, she will be hungry as she grows. It's kind of like when people have teenage boys in the house. There's not enough food on the planet.
The second question is, I have another one. When do we just go down to two times a day? What is there an age or is it, you know, when do we do that?
It's so individual, it's hard to say, but probably by the end of her first year, she'll almost have her full growth. And you probably would want to cut
her back.
Would
put her on twice a day, about 5 months old.
Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah,
fine. Because my husband's going home at noon. It's a 30-minute, you know, round trip to
mm-hmm.
go home. He
yeah.
was at noon, and so we were wondering if maybe, you know, after a couple months, if, you know, she would be fine just going to, you know, to the.
And some dogs, you know, never get fed three times a day, even though that's utopian.
Well,
it's not feasible.
Yeah,
so.
The reason you feed the puppy three times a day is their stomachs just aren't big enough.
Mm-mm.
They can't hold all the food they need. But when she gets up around 4 or 5 months, then it makes more sense to cut back to two feedings a day because she can hold that in one meal. You can also try free feeding her. That is, measure out a certain amount, see how much she eats, and measure that.
Okay.
That'd be more scientific.
We do use a measuring cup.
Mm-hmm.
I use a measuring cup religiously.
Yeah.
And
you can't eyeball it.
Because then you know what, you know, how much
right,
you fed,
exactly.
What's coming out, why, if they're hungry, you can increase it. But, you know, Goldens are big, they're prodigious eaters. So yeah. Be aware of that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is our second Golden.
Okay.
It's been 15 years since we've had a puppy. So.
Oh, enjoy it. So you're so lucky.
We are.
Yeah.
And then how about walking? We walk several miles every evening, and we've taken her with us but haven't let her yet walk the full 2 miles.
No, that's too much. Several miles at that age is way too much.
We end up carrying her. So
yeah.
What do you suggest? I mean, do we just kind of just keep on easing her into it, increasing it every day?
Yeah, but she can't. Yeah, but even a mile would be too much at that age.
Okay.
Yeah, it
maybe that's why she is hungry.
Well, she's burning calories when she's
yeah,
hungry.
But that's too much.
Okay. So probably
how much would you say,
5 or 6 months before.
Well, you know, a couple blocks when they're babies. It's just more exploring than anything else. But, well, yeah, I would do a couple blocks. And, you know, by the time she's 6 months old, 7 months old, she could probably do the mileage with you. But prior to that, there could be too much damage done. Her bones are soft and.
Yeah, she's probably taking 8 steps for every one that you take.
Right.
So it's just imagine 2 miles would be like you walking 8 miles. How's that for a rough analogy?
That's good.
Okay, so a couple of boxes is about all you do then.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can carry her and put her down later, but I would never expect her to do a couple miles. That wouldn't be good.
No, not at the time, but I just didn't know how much, you know, how far we would allow her to walk right now at 8 weeks.
And you want to be careful as she gets bigger, of course, time keeps moving ahead, and it's going to get warmer and warmer. And for a dog to walk 2 or 3 miles when it's hot and humid is not necessarily good.
It's bad.
So keep an eye
it's
on the
temperature. It's bad for mine. I don't take mine for...
The temperature humidity index.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially with the little puppy because it's like, you know, a little kid, they don't know how to regulate themselves. And she'll keep trucking right along with you and
you know,
it's dangerous.
As you add it, carry a little portable bowl mm-hmm. and some water. And when you get to the farthest you're going to go before you turn around, give her a little drink. So she stays hydrated.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you much.
Okay.
And next we go to Danville, a listener on line two. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. I heard you say something about dog trials or something out at Kennecott Cove.
Uh-huh.
And I've missed the date and time.
It's, I missed it too.
My mind just blanked.
It's on the 27th
Thank
of March, but I don't know the hours.
Oh, that's the one at Parkland.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second. Let me back my brain up.
I find it pretty interesting. I'm an ex-military dog handler, and I'd like to go out and see him work. So
yeah.
Celeste is looking up the correct date since I'm a failure.
Okay.
It's usually
there
in
is
March.
A tracking test, Carol. Mm-hmm. It says here at the end of the month.
She's got her calendar up.
And somebody, I think it was Jim, said that on one of these days they're just doing the setup.
Yeah, Saturday is the setup.
Saturday is just the setup.
So then Sunday the 27th would
be the
test.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd like to go out and watch that.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. What Jim was saying earlier about his dog being about 10 foot off the track, we used to call that scouting. It never did put their nose down. It just kind of airborne it.
Yeah.
There are trailing trackers in their
air centers.
And,
right.
Some friends of mine had Malamutes, which generally are search and rescue and therefore they're air centers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Colorado trying to get certified as rescue dogs. And they wouldn't ground scent. They air scented, and so that people wouldn't pass them. Even though they found the target every time, but they cheated, air scented, and went straight to it.
Right. Well, I'll try to get out there on the Sunday, the 27th. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and it starts early, as Jim said earlier.
I can't remember how early, but around 9 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, early to me is like 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, you'd be lonely out there that early.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next we go to a listener in Urbana on line three. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a question. We have a cockapoo who's just a little over a year old, and she kind of adopted my 7-year-old son as her litter mate right from the beginning, it seems like. And she, like, humps him all the time and sort of chews him up a little bit more than the rest of us. You know, that's kind of slacking off a little bit. But we're just, I don't know what to do or say to her to stop targeting him.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one. What I would do, and having neither children nor cockers, but I would have him. Do you train the dog anytime? I'd have him put her on the lead, tell her to heel, tell her to sit, tell her to down. Those things you're seeing are dominance displays.
Right.
You know, she's not being mean or anything. She's just saying, as between you and me, I'm dominant to you.
Right.
And if he can, you know, maybe give him the food to give to her and make her do a trick or a sitter or something before he gives her the food.
Right.
So that she learns that she has to work and please him in order to get her food.
Yeah.
Where is she sleeping right now?
Well, she used to be tethered in the kitchen, slept on a pillow, but then she started crying, so we put her in a crate. and she's been sleeping in her crate at night and seems to do okay with that.
Where's the crate?
In our office.
Okay.
With the door shut.
That's good. A lot of dominant dogs will be sleeping in someone's bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And when a dog does that, they kind of think they're equal to everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking a little bit of umbrage with that, but go ahead.
Well, that's Rogerson.
I know.
Okay.
Well, see, my dogs sleep with me, and I don't have an issue with them.
That's what I say. Millions of dogs sleep with their owners.
Yeah, you have to know your dog, whether or not that's appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the problem is that he kind of acts like a puppy with her a lot.
Oh, sure.
You know, and he doesn't seem to care that much. It just bothers me and my husband, you know, to see that happening. And she'll do that, you know, sometimes with other little kids that come over. So
probably the best way to discourage that is when it starts is to just have him stand up and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not going to hurt him. It's
no.
It's play, but still, it's.
And give her a timeout in her crate.
Yeah. Is that okay to do? Because,
sure.
You know, I mean, the message is you want to make that comfortable place for.
Yeah. It's like, don't lose your temper and slam her in the crate or anything. Just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She won't be mad at the crate. She'll be disappointed because she wants to play and now can't. And
right.
That's why it's a timeout.
And just. 5 or 10 minutes. It's not, you know.
10 minutes is probably way too long. Her ability
to. Well, she's a year old now.
Well, she can't really remember.
No.
You know.
And to her, she didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. All you're doing is, this isn't right or wrong for the dog. It's just, I can't do that. Otherwise, I'll get a timeout.
Yeah. But have your son stand up and walk away or the other children so she's not in a position where she can do that.
Right.
I mean, she can still, but, you know.
It's hard. I mean, it doesn't bother him, so...
No, and sometimes, you know, sometimes, not to disparage what you're thinking, but I sometimes wonder if we just don't make too much of things sometimes.
Yeah.
And this is puppy play. She's not going to, you know, tear his throat out one night or anything. But I think...
Right,
when
he grows up, I think she'll, you know...
Oh, sure.
Probably, yeah.
Jim's idea was great, though, if you have a training facility or classes and let... And have your son take the dog, or you go with him in the ring, and he learns how to do these things, and and it just creates a different role she sees.
The real problem, if you
only seven's kind of hard, but
yeah, seven's a little. But if you do all the training, the dog will stop dominance while you're in the room, and then as soon as you walk out, then she'll feel free to do whatever she wants. So you've got to have him do the training.
Right. Yeah, and that's what. It has been kind of frustrating. She's gotten a lot better of getting off of him when we say off, you know, but she'll just go right back and do it again, you know, so.
Yeah, because in her mind, she's really doing nothing wrong.
Right.
If you ever watch puppies play, then you'll see that very behavior over and over again.
Right.
The other thing, and I'm going to take a wild guess here, but I'll bet I'm right. He's the dog is grabbing your son's leg. You say off. What do you say next? You say good dog.
Yeah, right. And maybe we don't do that enough.
Why? Because he's
so wise. Jim is so wise.
The dog just did exactly what you asked it to, and I was going to mention this earlier on people in actual training classes. They tell their dog to sit. The dog sits, and they just stand there looking at it. Mm-hmm. And I go. What else could the dog do? You told it to sit. It sat. It's done everything he can to get the cookie. Give him the cookie.
Right.
And here, the dog got off. What else could she do for praise? But you're still holding her responsible for doing the act in the first place, so you're still mad at her.
Mm-hmm.
But in dog training, you can never get mad.
Mm-mm.
If you say off and she gets off, you say, what a delightful dog you are. Here's a cookie.
Right.
And then she's more likely then to stay off in the future. Never get angry unless – I always tell the class, never get angry at your dog unless it's attacking me. Otherwise
– Oh, and that's happened to him too.
Hell yeah. It's true. But otherwise, you know, you got to be pleasant all the time when you're training a dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks. And what is a good age for a kid to be part of the training? We did go to one, but they just kind of – both of my boys kind of lost interest in it and basically
– Yeah.
It's hard to say. I don't think seven is too young, but they need a lot more supervision.
It depends on the composition of the entire class.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have people that want to bring their kids, and I encourage them to sit and watch at first until I can kind of assess the dogs that are in the room. Because if you have your child take your dog in the room, you want to make certain, into the class, you want to make certain they're both safe. And until you know the demeanor of the other dogs, that's probably not a good idea. Although there's not very many issues. It's just you have to be careful. I'd say more like 10. When do the little 4-H'ers, because we've got them this spring.
I don't know. We have the 4-H dog training classes are held at our building.
Yeah.
And they're, I couldn't tell you, maybe 10 years old.
I'll find out. Yeah. But you might have a 4-H club in Danville that does dog training. That might be good.
Well, I'm from Urbana.
Oh, I thought you were from Danville.
No, that was the previous.
Oh, see, there I go again.
Okay.
Well, get a hold of the local 4-H.
I keep track because it's written down in front of me. So
it's Champaign County Extension Office that you can call.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And they have a complete program of dog care. Dog
grooming, it's huge. It's not just training.
It's a good curriculum.
Great
program. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. Also, the Vet Med Clinic, they have a series of seminars. Now, I don't know if they're over for the year, but it's all about...
No, they're not over. They're on Monday night.
And they're really interesting. I haven't seen that flyer for a while, but they'll have a session on first aid. They'll have a session on behavior. They'll have a session on grooming.
And I feel bad because I can never go because I always teach on Monday nights.
Monday nights.
You do too.
And they wouldn't move them to accommodate me, so the heck with them.
And we have a message from Robin.
We screwed up somewhere.
Yep, you did. Puppies get fed 2 times a day from 6 weeks on. Should I say what else she said?
No.
I don't.
It's about Health Day. We screwed up there, I'm sure.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, tell us.
Jim doesn't know where his brain is at.
Oops. I don't know where the microphone's at either.
So we've got a few minutes remaining in this portion of
she
Focus.
She got you good.
Today.
I'm the only one who can prove he has a brain. I haven't had an MRI done.
Oh, the thoughts that you'd be thinking. You'd be another Lincoln.
If I only had a brain.
That's right. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this morning. We've got about 8-9 minutes left in this portion of the program. If you've got a question, a story to tell about dogs, dog training, behavior, care, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So what are the first things that you work with a puppy that's 6-8 weeks old?
This is where Robin should be sitting in here because she teaches puppy kindergarten.
Yeah, she's taught the class for years and years.
Yeah.
Seeing as we've
it's not
some...
the biting issue is, I think, one that really bothers people because it really hurts and you'll bleed. And people with young children need to monitor the play so the children don't. I mean, those teeth. Did you ever feel a puppy's teeth?
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. And so imagine that on the skin of a young kid and then they're freaked out by dogs. So it's important that puppies get a lot of sleep. They need a lot of sleep. And when they get overtired, that's when you'll see some of these other behaviors start to come forward. They're done.
You don't want to take the puppy away from its mother too young, but you don't want to take the puppy away from the other puppies.
Right, right.
Because it's the puppies that teach each other that it hurts when you bite. When you take a puppy away a little too soon, they haven't learned how to inhibit their bite yet. So they bite us, and it hurts.
But they'll still do it when you get them home.
Oh, they'll still do it, but they understand.
Yeah.
If you go, ah.
But that's – here's – and this is what really just irks me is, if you get bitten, don't punish the puppy. Remove yourself from that situation. Give them something else to chew on, but don't punish them for it. So – my two cents.
All right. Well, let's take another call. This is a listener in Savoy, line one. Good morning.
Hi. This is along the same line as what you were talking about the humping, dogs humping. And I think probably you've explained an experience I had, but I always wondered about it. I was visiting a relative out of state, and she had a smaller dog. And we were just sitting there talking, and the dog was laying on the floor napping and just out of the clear blue sky, it got up, it came over, and it humped my leg. And I always wondered why on earth the dog did that. It wasn't playing or excited or anything. And was that the same thing, a dominance thing?
More or less.
Yeah, it's you'd have to see the other dog behaviors. It's a little unusual for them to wake up and do
just out of it,
like
laying on the floor and napping quietly. I know it was just a very strange thing.
But it's I would imagine the dog does the same thing to everybody else in the family.
And, maybe so. I wondered if there were pheromones or something that had any.
No, it's not a sexual act at all.
Okay.
It's a dominance act.
Okay. All right. Well, then that answers my question. I just wanted to be, kind of get that clear in my mind.
We're only guessing, but I think that's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
And next we go to Bloomington, line 4. Hi.
Hello there. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You know, this is a question that's pretty simple to answer. We don't have dogs. We've had them. But this has to do, the question is, can all dogs be trained not to bark?
Mm.
Because we have some two little black adorable dogs right next door, and there is some space between us, but nevertheless, it's very, very annoying. And they let the dog out, and we like these neighbors so much that I hate to say anything to them, but this dog just yaps and yaps and yaps. So that's my question. Can dogs be trained not to bark?
Well, I think you can manage the behavior, not to eliminate the barking altogether. Why don't you talk to your neighbors about it? I know you like them, but they're not going to like you less if you...
Well, it's a little more complicated. They had pet roosters. You should have seen what they did to the garden. So we've done that with them. And I just, I don't know what to do. I was even thinking of getting on the web, or getting a number and just seeing if they could take the dogs to be. I don't know. They just don't care, I don't think, about training.
For some reason, it's like people and their children. The children are making noise and disrupting everything, and the parents are just sitting there. The parents only react when they don't hear any noise.
Interesting.
And
that seems a good theory that you've got there.
It seems to be the same with people. They never hear their own dogs barking. In order to train, you can train a dog to bark a lot less. You can't really train them never to bark, unless you want to be cruel. But there are toys and games for dogs that when they – I take it it's when they're in the backyard, they do a lot of barking.
Yeah, in the back, and also this dog one time almost – they have one of those electronic fences. But I don't think it means anything to this little animal, and he's so cute. But, he jumps right over it, and he'll mosey on through the garden. So I don't think I know that's not working. And,
it must not be on.
Or the collar's not on.
Yeah. The collar takes batteries, and I'll bet they're dead.
Oh, okay.
You just have to... what's the word I'm looking for? Distract the dog. There are toys that you put food in.
But does this occur like late at night, or is it when you get home from work, or
anytime they let the dog out? And they're nice. When I'm in the garden or my husband, if we're working outside, they try not to let the dog out, but they do sometimes. But it's such a loud little yap that you can hear it. I can even hear it in the wintertime when they let it out in the snow. And the doors are closed, and there's some space between us. So I don't know. I think what we're going to do is just, mention it to them.
Yeah, and if you have a good relationship with them, I went through something very similar recently with a dog jumping over the fence into my yard. And there were two ways I could have handled it. One was to have been extremely annoyed and told them I don't want their dog in my yard. The other was the way I did it. And said we have a little issue and that we need to work on because I don't mind, frankly, that she's in my yard. But I think my dogs would mind if they were in her yard, if she was in our yard. So I took myself kind of out of it and looked at the safety of the dogs if nobody's home and she gets out and I've got a pond and all those things. And it was a much more healthy and productive approach. So you have to leave your, use all your charm that you possess when you go to talk to them.
I don't like them walking in my garden.
I kind of gathered that. The gardening's big to you, and it is to me as well.
Yeah, and especially when I plant out the little seedlings,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all they need to do is run over them, and they, they don't, it's just their instinct. I feel bad because, You know, I think I just need. I'm glad I got on to talk to you because I think I need to. We need to get up our nerve and just confront it, just like we did with the chickens.
The chickens are a much more difficult issue, yeah. I would think, than the dog. I'm surprised the dog goes over the fence, though.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah. Are they aware of that?
Yes, I think they are. And the other thing that happened one time, this dog just zoomed out of the front door into the street, and both drivers going both directions, we just rammed on our brakes, and that little dog almost, you know, that was almost the end of that little dog. And so this dog also does that kind of thing. You know, he's just poorly behaved, and these are bright people. This is what's so unusual. So I think what we're going to
do. Oh, you know what? That's an assumption that we all make, and it's really not unusual.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how the intellect level of the people that own the dog. It's like Jim said earlier, they probably don't hear it. Now, the fact that it could be injured by running out of the yard because they don't have the batteries for the collar for the fence, yeah. That would be far more alarming to me than having my dog bark.
Well, one time I was playing badminton with a friend. This was years ago when they got the first little black dog. And Sonic came over, and the husband said, oh, just pretend he's a squeeze toy. You know, those little squeeze toys that make those cute sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just that they don't have any idea, I don't think, that it's bothersome. It gets on our nerves. Mm. Okay, enough time.
Feel better?
Great, I do.
That's good.
Okay,
hang in there.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And there we will wrap it up for this month. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us on the first Friday of the month in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus. Thanks so much.
Thank you.